In the fall of 2016, thousands of people gathered at the Standing Rock Reservation in North Dakota to protest the proposed construction of the Dakota Access Pipeline. During the protest, a Lakota woman gave birth in a teepee near the Cannonball River. One of the reasons she cited for not going to an Indian Health Service hospital to deliver her child is the 40-year history of forced sterilizations of Indigenous women by the federal government.
Many non-Native people aren't aware of this, but it's important to recognize that this history is very much known in many Native families, in many Native communities, and so it resonates in various ways today, and it shapes people's views.
That's Brianna Theobald, an assistant professor of history at the University of Rochester. She just released a book called Reproduction on the Reservation, Pregnancy, Childbirth, and Colonialism in the Long 20th Century. Doctors in the U.S. started sterilizing Indigenous women in the 1930s, but the rate of these procedures grew in the 1970s when Congress passed the Family Planning Services Act. It subsidized sterilizations for Medicaid and Indian Health Service patients. An estimated 25% to 42% of Native women of childbearing age were sterilized. Some of them were as young as 15.
Now, I always try to emphasize that that does not mean that all of these sterilizations were coercive, that they were all unwanted. But this piece of legislation, the kind of financial incentives behind it, as well as some of the pervasive ideas at the time, fears about global overpopulation, fears about increases in welfare spending and the welfare state, those sort of created the conditions in which some of these procedures were performed or do seem to have been performed more coercively.
If coercion is a term that did not apply to all of these cases, Theobald believes some Native women were sterilized at least without their full knowledge or consent.
You know, a physician might say, you're going to get your tubes tied, and they wouldn't necessarily know what that means, right? And might assume tubes that would be tied could be just as easily untied.
This was happening at a time when American women were waging a battle for their reproductive rights. The landmark Supreme Court Roe v. Wade decision legalizing abortion came in 1973. But Native American women still had difficulty controlling their own reproductive choices. Roe v. Wade did not necessarily apply to women who were seeking abortions at publicly funded hospitals. Theobald says this is one of the factors that push Native American women toward longer-term birth control methods, like sterilization, options they might not have otherwise chosen. She says while it's difficult to get into the minds of doctors who performed these procedures on women, there were likely some general influences on their thinking.
Some of them, I believe, were concerned about the increase of welfare rolls. Some of them, I think, believed that they were helping the women. So if a woman had a few children outside of wedlock, for example, or if a physician believed that a woman was unable because of her socioeconomic position to care for a child, there was sometimes some paternalism that went into this as well.
Native American women did resist these practices. In 1979, protests by the group Women of All Red Nations and others put pressure on Congress to enact new regulations to protect Native women from unwanted sterilization. Beth Adams, WXXI News.